All right, we got a very good author on Chip Scorinzi. Chip, if I said that correctly. The book is Diehards, Why Fans Care So Much About Sports. Chip, you're a local guy, and I like the book. What motivated you to write it?
First of all, thanks very much for having me on, Marty. It's a real thrill. I think, you know, I don't know what your experience has been as a fan necessarily, but I know for me, there are times when my teams have made me sad and frustrated, and the lows are, you know, they stay for a while, but then at the other end of the spectrum, sport can bring us so much joy and happiness on a level that you don't usually attain in everyday life, and not that often at least. So, Diehards is really, that was what I was trying to express, that emotional roller coaster of being a sports fan and an exploration into that phenomenon, why we care so much and what the impacts are of that passion.
Hey, it's a great subject because obviously, you know, being in talk radio, sports talk radio, people love to call in and I love to talk to people, I give people a lot of time because they're very passionate about this. They have deep feelings about whatever they're going to express, no matter who they are. So how do you explain it? And I like the chapters, Faith and Fanaticism, Baseball Hell. Give us a little bit of insight into what those chapters talk about.
Sure. So I wanted to approach this, and I looked at diehard fandom through the lens of baseball primarily, and I wanted to approach it from a number of different angles. You know, you think about, is it in our DNA to be sports fans? So I talked to an anthropologist about that experience. And, you know, what are the impacts of caring so much and being so passionate about a team? What are the impacts of that on our psyche? So there are a number of great psychologists out there that are studying this very thing. And I spoke with a number of them to dig into that. But then also from a, you know, from a medical perspective, like what are there negative impacts on being a fan? There have been a lot of studies on the impacts on our heart, even like, you know, because that emotional roller coaster, it can affect you in very real ways for better or worse. So I wanted to try to give fans a broad overview of, you know, all the different things that go into being a fan. And I think for me, the thing that struck me most is this idea of community building as a draw and as something that kind of fuels that passion. Because we are, you know, for thousands of years, human beings have been, it's a group people. We like to be around other people. And even if you go to the game, you know, by yourself and you're focused on the action and you try to tune out everybody around you, you know, if Brandon Crawford scorches a ball into Triple's Alley, you're going to leap out of your seat with 45,000 other people. And then, of course, you have the opposite reaction with the Dodgers coming to town and Yasiel Puig steps up to the plate. So it is there's an element of community building that is very unique to sport that you don't necessarily see outside of maybe a political rally or something like that. But I wanted to try to express all of this through the chapters.
Yeah, very good. Chip Scorinzi is with us. The book is Diehards, D-I-E-H-A-R-D-S. Chip, where can you get it?
You can get it anywhere books are sold. Amazon, of course, is a popular choice. Barnes & Noble. .com as well, and select bookstores across the country.
All right, now a lot of people call in. I do shows. They'll say, "What's your superstition?" You know, and I get the most amazing answers. I mean, they'll cook the same meal all the time. They'll go in the garden the same time. The dog will wear a sweater. How does that fit into the psyche of a fan?
Yeah, it's funny. The different peculiarities that fans. You know, pick up along the way. I know, you know, even for me, if I go to a game and I'm wearing a certain shirt on a certain game and it's an incredible experience and my team wins, you might see that shirt again at the ballpark. You know, there is a superstition. And I think one thing that's funny to me, not funny, it's just an interesting concept of, you know, when you go to games and if you go often, you almost feel like you have a stake in it where if you don't go and the team loses, you kind of put it on yourself almost. And you're like, oh, you know, sorry, friends that, you know, I usually go with, it's my fault. Like I should have been there. I should have been cheering for them. So we do get very connected to our favorite teams for sure.
Well, is it part of American culture, sort of the root, well, of course, root for your team, but root for the underdog, so to speak, and you want to see your team beat all the odds? Because very few times is your team the real favorite. I mean, you know, for me growing up and seeing the Yankees all the time was like rooting for U.S. Steel. That's what they used to say back then. And so the Giants are kind of a favorite this year. You know, if you look at all the predictions in the West, most people are picking the Giants. But as an American culture, we've always pulled for the underdog. And I think there's something about that in the fanaticism of being a fan.
I think you're definitely right. It's, I mean, some of the most powerful experiences that you can have rooting for a team, it's when that unexpected moment happens, and as a fan, you want it to be the unexpected positive moment. Well, if it's unexpected, then that means you're rooting for something that probably shouldn't go your way. And in fact, I mean, the spark for this book, I can pinpoint the moment. It was October 10, 2012, and you know I'm in the East Bay, and I'm an A's fan. I was sitting in the crowd when Coco Crisp hit a walk-off against the Detroit Tigers, staved off elimination for literally one day. The very next day, they got shut out, and that was it for their season. But it was an improbable comeback in the ninth inning, and it was everything that diehard fans want to get out of the game experience, you know. And I think because we came from the A's were down 3-1 in the ninth, and you know the crowd was very, you know, completely deflated, and they took us to this level of euphoria that was just astronomical. So I think that's the, you know, and in that series they were indeed the underdog, and you see that. And I think on the other side of the bay, the Giants' incredible run in 2010, they were not favored to win. And it took them right down to the last weekend of the series against the Padres, and they pulled it out. So it's a very special moment when you can experience that live. And I think that's really what we're aiming to, you know, experience each time we step in the ballpark.
Very good. Very good book. And what I like about the book, and of course you've hit on a lot of the big subjects, but you have a lot of information, a lot of resources that you went to make your points. And I think that's a very good part of the book that people will enjoy. So is it healthy to be a diehard fan? Is that okay? Is it all right for family life? Is it all right for your health?
You know, I think we're going to be okay. There's a balance, right? And I have a chapter about the impact of diehard sports fandom on family life. When things go awry, it's when you kind of lose sight of other aspects of your life. Maybe you're shutting out your family, or you're not performing well at your job because you're constantly focused on sports. But if you can maintain a healthy balance, it's the benefits far outweigh the negatives. Because again, you know, it's something that can bring people joy and happiness and create camaraderie, lifelong friendships, you know, love. It's the whole spectrum. You know, by and large, being a sports fan is an enormously positive thing.
Yeah, I'm glad we talked about it. The book is good. Diehards, Chip Scarinzi, Scarinzi. You can get it anywhere. And we love entertainment. It's a great escape. And we love the story. And I love telling the story for 30 straight weekends. It's going to start on Monday. We have no idea where it's going to go. It's going to go all over the map through just about every season that we experience. It's going to have all the sex, drugs, and rock and roll that they talk about in Rolling Stone. And at the end of it, it's going to have some winner that how they got there, we have no idea. But that's the story we love, and I think you hit it well in the book. So, Chip, I appreciate you being on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Okay. That book is Diehards. Yeah, look, I can't wait for the story. You know, I say it every year. You know, LOL KMBR is going to be on me for saying it. You know, it's the new book. Every page is unwritten. It's the mosaic, and we're going to start it on Monday. The cattle drive starts with John Wayne leading it, then Bruce Bochy. Someone else called Bruce Bochy John Wayne in the clubhouse the other day. I like that. And it's going to start. It's going to have all sorts of pitfalls and the things that happen during a baseball season, but it is going to be compelling. We're going to follow it every single day, and we're going to have a game just about every single day for the next 6 months. How about that? And then we'll see where it goes. Giants are in good shape. They really are. This was a good spring training. It was a lot of fun to be down there. Beer Can did a great job. And, Raf, you and Matt up here and Cody and everyone, I'm glad to be back in the studio. Trust me, I'm glad to be back up here today. All right, we've got a lot of guesses coming in on our trivia today. Give me Matt Cain's line, innings pitched, hits, and runs given up, and then we'll on our post game we'll pick out a couple of winners, and then Raf, we'll do this for a couple of weeks, and then we'll get a dinner going at Original Joe's into April as well. All right, more coming up. Bruce Jenkins next, right here on the Sports Leader.